So today we are pleased to have with us Shiluban from Madhuban. Shiluban has been in knowledge for more than 50 years. She came at the tender age of 10. And she was one of the few sisters in India who was studying in English. So when service started in this countries outside of India, she was one of the souls who went out of India to serve, and she came to Africa. Spent a couple of years there and came back to Madhuban, and ever since then she has been taking care of double foreigners and the programs attached to them. So today Shiluban is going to speak to us on the unique ways of God. Om Shanti. Welcome.
Om Shanti. On the path of devotion in bhakti, there is a very beautiful saying that God's ways are unique. Only He knows them. It is difficult for a human being to understand the ways of God. So this saying has so much depth, because Baba says, who I am, what I come and do, only I can tell. Nobody else knows about me. That is why we are seeing how people are stumbling at every step looking for God. They want to know who God is, where He is, what He does, what He does not do, how they can meet God. They don't know anything. And therefore they have many, many questions about God. They also love God. I was just coming and I received a phone call from one lady. She lives in Delhi. And she said, I don't know why I'm beginning to hate God. I don't know why I'm beginning to hate God. I love Him so much, but I'm now beginning to hate Him. I said, why are you beginning to hate Him? You love Him so much, and why are you beginning to hate Him? And she said, I don't know what type of bad feelings I get about God. Bad feelings about God. I said, bad feelings? What type of bad feelings you get about God? And she said, I feel that God is very dirty. I said, dirty? You know, very funny the way she was speaking. And she said, I get so afraid, so sad, so depressed, and I don't know what to do. I said, then, whom do you worship? She said, I don't know. I don't know anything. But I love God, but I also want to hate Him. You know, I don't know. So I said, do you have any desires which you felt were not fulfilled and this is why you are hating God? She said, no, I have no desires. I go to satsangs, I go to the sermons of different gurus, I read scriptures, I do this, I worship, I do everything. But I don't know what's gone in me. I just beginning to hate God. So I tried to explain to her that she asked another question, will I be sinned if I hate God? Will there be a sin on my head if I hate God? I said, of course. How can you hate someone who hasn't done anything wrong to you? Oh, of course you will be sinned. She said, really? Then what should I do to not hate God? I said, know Him, understand Him. Realize Him, and you will again begin to experience God's love in you, and you will also begin to love God. Then she asked, how to experience Him? I want to experience Him. I said, then go to the center. I mean, she didn't know Baba's center, but she was watching every day on the television, because our television programs come, and we have a whole channel, Brahma Kumari's channel on, you know, in the television. So she watches that. And she listens to everything, but still she doesn't understand anything. Then I said, go to the center. Where is your center? Then people ask like that, and then I tell them where they can go near to there, where their location is, where they live, and so on. So, this is the condition of today's world. People don't know. And this is why they have so many doubts and questions about who he is, what he does, and all that. So many opinions too, so many concepts, and really people are confused. And that is why we are seeing, we are finding more and more atheists increasing in the world. And because of that lack of love for God, atheism, agnosticism, you know, there's depression, there is all these mental problems. In the earlier centuries, 16th century, 17th century, there wasn't that much stress. Why? Because their faith in God was so strong. Even if it was blind faith, but that faith was so strong that God will definitely help me. And because of that strong faith, they used to experience a lot of help from God. But that faith is also going, the attraction toward worldly pleasures is increasing, and then the doubts and questions and all that leading to depression, because internal inside is very, very like empty. And therefore Baba says, when such a situation arises in the world, then I come. I come and reveal myself. Who I am, what I do and what I don't do, and what you can achieve from me. Yesterday there was in the Murli, you know, one sentence. And somebody came up to me and said, what does it mean? Because in the Murli the sentence came that God does not give any blessings, or blessings are of no use, something was like that in the Murli. Then he said, but every day Baba is giving us blessings, how blessings are of no use, and why blessings have no meaning, something he began to say. I said, asking for blessings, you forgot this word. It's Namurli say, asking for blessings. Now people ask for blessings, bless me, bless me. And what the gurus do, okay, may you live long. May you live 100 years. May you become rich. May you have a son. Because they have the desire to become rich, to live long, to have a son. And then okay, may you. And if they don't get that wish fulfilled, or that blessing doesn't work, and then they say, well, that's the unique way of God. Probably God didn't want it. But they try to please their disciples in this way by blessing. And Baba says, blessing don't work in this way. You have to earn your blessings. You have to work hard to really experience the blessings. You have to keep the courage, then only you can receive help from God. Without courage, and if you just say, okay, God help me, give me the strength, but no, you have to keep that courage and the strength, and then the help will come, the blessing will be felt. Because just in words, nothing is going to happen. So that is why Baba said, don't have blind faith. Okay, I've been blessed. But no, I remember once Baba gave me so many blessings, you know, personal blessings. But I took them in a very, very different way. I didn't feel that, oh, Baba has blessed me, so I'm already like that. So once Baba blessed me, you are a tireless server. This is a blessing Baba gave me. Personally, no, Baba used to meet personally, Avyakt Bab Dada. You are a tireless server. Every time I would meet Baba, Baba would give me the same blessing. You are a tireless server. So I told to myself, really Baba, yes, I do feel I am a tireless server. But Baba, I want to keep up to this blessing. Yes, I do feel I am. But I want to keep up in the sense I should not do anything which should make me tired, you know. Because tiredness comes through waste thoughts. It's not just the physical work that you do which makes you tired, but the waste thoughts make us tired. You know, you're working on the computer and maybe you don't look at the clock, you don't look at the time, and you may be working and working and, you know, you're so engrossed, and you're already there 3 hours on the computer. You didn't even think of anything else. You forgot your meals. You forgot everything. 3 hours. Then you look at the time. Oh my God. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And look at me here. 2 o'clock. I've been sitting since 10 o'clock. Maybe 4 hours. And it's 4 hours I'm sitting. Oh, now I'm hungry. I'm so tired. You know, all these thoughts will start coming. And before, for 4 hours you sat, no thoughts. You were so alert, so conscious. So it's all in the mind. It's the mind that you feel the tiredness. And then I said to myself, yes, Baba, I will prove to you that yes, I'm really tireless. That I should not have any waste thoughts. The more I'm on godly service, the more I'm doing Baba's service, the more lighter I should feel, the more blessings I receive from souls. And that makes me even work even more because Baba's blessings are there. Once, I remember, because it was my great fortune that I was the first one, you know, who to give lectures on television in India. And it was, we got the first time invitation from the personal, from private channels. Government channels would not give us, but private channels started. And when they started, they invited us. The Brahma Kumaris and Dadiji at that time told me to go and give lectures on the television. But before that, maybe probably some 5-6 days before that, Baba gave me a blessing, a beautiful blessing. And the blessing was, child, Saraswati is on your tongues, is in your tongue. The goddess of knowledge, Saraswati is in your tongue. That's the blessing Baba gave me. And when Baba blessed me with this beautiful blessing, immediately I felt thrilled. Yes, definitely it was a great, great blessing that Saraswati, you know, is the goddess of knowledge. But then a thought came in my mind, Baba, you have given me such a blessing. But let me now keep in mind that this tongue, these lips will not utter anything which is against God's teaching, against what Saraswati would speak, against Baba's service, you know, something. This tongue or these lips should not say anything like that. This tongue should be doing only Baba's service because Saraswati is sitting in my tongue as Baba has mentioned. People can take in a different way. Oh, I'm a blessed soul now. And because I'm blessed, everything will be good, good, good for me. But what about the efforts I have to make for that? The blessing is there. But am I worthy of that? Some think the other way around. When they are told, when they are given a blessing by Baba, because in every Avyakt Murli, every Sakar Murli also, Baba gives us titles. They are like blessings for us. Children, you are so and so, you are holy swans, you are this, you are that. You know, Baba keeps on giving us different titles. You are the worship-worthy souls, you are the the ones who have been pure, and you are the ancestral souls, you are this, you are Master Almighty Authority, you know, all that. So some may say, yes, I already am because Baba has blessed me. But there are some who think the other way round. Those who think I'm already blessed because Baba has blessed me, and then they take it as an advantage or as an excuse that yes, I'm blessed, but not working on it. But the others who not only don't work on it, but then they start questioning themselves, am I really like that? Am I like that? I don't think so. And the moment I say, I don't think so, it's like I am renouncing that blessing. It's like my blessing is being snatched away from me because I don't think so. I brought a blockage in my mind and I'm not able to experience that blessing. So God's ways are unique, no doubt, but we have to understand those unique ways. When Baba comes, first of all, that faith is necessary. Because otherwise, how would God come? This is the end of Kali Yuga. Everything is so impure, so vicious, so bad. And God has to do His task. How will He come and do? Definitely He needs a human form. Now people don't understand this, that He needs a human form to come and speak to us. We are in our human form, and therefore God also has to adopt that form just like us in order to uplift us, in order to enlighten us, in order to purify us. But God's ways are unique, doesn't mean that He will just do it through inspiration. Because we won't understand His inspiration. Or again, if a sadhu sannyasi just blesses us, it won't work. Baba has to give knowledge, and we have to understand that knowledge and work with that knowledge. We have to do our homework of that. Really be the embodiment of that through our own effort. And then the blessing will work. So God's ways are unique in the sense He knows how to uplift His children. People have many questions. You know, how will God come? When will He come? What will He do? And all that. And what does He really do? People don't even know that. And Baba comes and reveals about Himself. Not only who I am, but what I do. Because there's so many concepts. What does God do? You know? Because some people think He does everything. Every act which is going on in the world is being done by God. You know, that's an exaggeration, a very big feeling many have. Each leaf which is moving, that is being moved by God. Just imagine. As if God has no other work but to move every leaf of this world. How many leaves there may be, and He's just moving each leaf. Is that what God does? So many people who are sensible, they will ask this question. But those who have blind faith, they will accept, no, God is doing everything. That is why, you know, the natural calamities which take place, they call it godly calamities. Godly calamities is God's ways. God has brought that calamity. God has given the sorrow. They also say that God gives happiness as well as sorrow. There are songs based on this. God, I'll be happy with whatever You give me, whether You give me flowers or whether You give me thorns. I'll be happy. I don't mind anything. But then Baba says, I don't give sorrow. Yesterday's Murli also, or today's Murli it was. Baba said that people pray to God, and there are also sayings that only in sorrow people remember God. In happiness, no one remembers God. But then, they don't know why did sorrow come. In sorrow they remember God because God gives happiness. That is why they remember God in the type of sorrow. But why did they get sorrow? They don't know this. So Baba says, I don't give you sorrow, but Ravan gives you sorrow. Baba says, they don't even know that. The Ravan gives sorrow. They don't even know Ravan. They don't even know what Maya is. Not only they don't know me, but they also don't know what Maya is. They think Maya means wealth. Maya means children. You know, some sannyasis, everything they'll say Maya. Woman is Maya, wealth is Maya, children are Maya, this world is Maya, everything Maya, Maya. And they want to renounce everything, they don't want this Maya. But Baba says, no, all that is not Maya. This is God's creation. How, and they say, God, this is creation of God, but creation of Maya. Everything they'll use Maya, you know, for everything, without understanding the difference. But Baba says, no, this is not Maya. Wealth is not Maya. But yes, greed for Maya, greed for wealth is Maya. Not the wealth itself. Even the deities had wealth. Lakshmi is the goddess of wealth. So she's not the goddess of Maya. Goddess of wealth. So wealth is not Maya, but the greed of wealth is definitely Maya. A woman is Maya, that's what they say. Baba says, no, a woman is a Shakti. You know, goddesses are worshipped in India twice a year. Since yesterday, the worship of the goddesses has started for 9 days. It will go on, and on the 10th day will be the end of Ravan, Dashera. So 9 days, so much the goddesses are worshipped. And also, after 6 months, they'll be worshipped again. Navratri, the 9 nights of the goddesses, it's twice a year. No other festival is celebrated twice a year, only once a year. Dashera, Diwali, Holi, you know all the Indian festivals, it's just once a year. But Navratri is celebrated twice a year. So twice a year indicates that there is so much respect for women. But look at the sannyasis, they say a woman is Maya. We say, no, woman is not Maya. Woman is a Shakti. She's worshipped. But yes, the possessiveness over her body, lust, that is Maya. Woman is not Maya. And therefore Baba comes and corrects everything. That is his unique way of giving enlightenment. Some say children are Maya. We say, no, children are not Maya. They are such sweet flowers. They are so innocent. What they have done? Nothing. But yes, the attachment towards the children, that is Maya. So lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, all that is Maya. And then some very interestingly say, well, it is this God was created this Maya. No? Lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, God has created. God says, why should I create that? That is actually a weakness. Just like a builder builds a building, and surely he would want to build a strong building. If it's for his children, he won't build a weak one. Maybe if it's for selling away, he may not put very good material, but if it is for his own family, he will definitely build a good building and he have a very strong material for it. But then after 50 years, 100 years, that building which was built 100 years ago, definitely after 100 years, it will become old. Why not? It will. Not that it won't become old, but you won't say, oh, the builder or the owner who built this building built an old house. No. It was a new house, but everything has to come down. Everything has to go down from golden, silver, copper to iron stages. This is the law of nature. Each thing, it goes through a cycle. And therefore, when it goes through that cycle, you won't blame God for it, because only the Supreme is beyond the cycle. And therefore, His ways of again transforming are unique. That's why in today's Murli Baba said, you must always say Baba, Baba, whenever you're explaining to anybody. You can say, there was so much wealth, what happened to all that wealth? There was so much purity, what happened to all that? What happened, what happened? They won't know, but you'll have to tell them that how this cycle spins, how everything goes through its gold and silver, copper, iron stages. But then in iron, it has to come back to the golden stage. And that's the work of God. God doesn't do everything. He has given the responsibility to souls. They are responsible. It's just like in a democracy. In a democracy, it is said, of the people, by the people, for the people. You know, they choose their leader and the leader rules over them. So all the government is actually of the people, by the people, for the people. But then the president is selected separately. And the president is out of the assembly or the parliament or the House of Lords or House of Commons. He's outside. He's not in that. He doesn't make the laws. The laws are made by the people, of the people, for the people. But yes, his authority is different. What is his authority? He uses his authority when there is chaos. He uses his authority when everything is in a disorganized state. When that democracy has stopped working, there is selfishness everywhere, there is chaos everywhere, and then the president can dissolve. You know, that is his authority, the final authority. So he will intervene only when the normal democracy stops working. Then president intervenes. And then he takes the full authority on his head to make it right again, to make it straight again. Till then he doesn't interfere. So Baba says in this world also it's like that. What we do, we reap. It's not that God is doing everything, then he should reap. But why are we reaping then? So much sorrow there is in the world. We do experience the sorrow. If he is doing, he should reap. No, not we. But we are the doers, we are the reapers. And these people don't understand. And then they sometimes, you know, hate their karma, hate their fate. But it is their actions. And so Baba says, you must love karma philosophy also. Karma philosophy should be loved, not hated. If I have done something wrong, I will have to reap for it. I should not blame anybody else. If I am blaming somebody else for my karma, it is actually ignorance. But I don't blame myself also. I understand that it is my karma and therefore it will help me to change. But people don't want to change and that is why they just start, blaming others. They justify what they have done is right. And this is why Baba is saying this world is going from bad to worse. So when everything becomes its worst, then God's work starts. And he brings about a drastic transformation. Till then it is a slow transition, you know, just Baba was mentioning yesterday, like the lice, the lice, you know, inside the hair, how it's moving, the drama is moving so slowly, 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 slowly. And the louse, it's moving slowly, very slowly. And today, in today's Murli, Baba said, the service you are doing is at ant speed. It is, what word you say in English for makora? Ant. You heard in today's Murli? Baba said it is not even in that speed. Because a big ant has big legs and it walks a little faster. Small ant walks very slowly. What do you call it? Big ant? What was the English translation? I don't know. Huh? Big ant. So once we have these tiny little ants and the others are big ants with big legs. And you know, they walk a little bit faster than those tiny little ants. So Baba says, your speed of service is not even like that big ant. It is a tiny ant, just like the louse in the hair. But Baba wants you to do it at bird speed, not ant speed. Because Baba wants you to serve the world. And he can do anything he wants. So he's the Almighty. But Baba says, I use you. Because you are the ones who are going to reap. I'm not going to reap. The one who does will reap. So you do it and you reap. I only show you the way. That is what they show in the Gita too. Arjuna went to Krishna and said, you have to help me to fight against the Kauravas. And Krishna said, well, I will help you, but I won't fight. Fighting you have to do, because you have to reap heaven. I don't reap heaven. So surely these words can't be of Krishna, Sri Krishna. They are of the Supreme Father, who never comes in a cycle of birth and death. And therefore Baba says, I am beyond all these cycles, birth, death, karma, fruit of karma, sin and virtue and heaven and hell, I'm beyond. I'm not affected. That's why I'm unique. My ways are also unique. I'm absolute. In this world everything is relative, nothing is absolute. Because everything has a comparison, everything. Nothing is by itself on its own. It has a comparison. This hall is big because there's a smaller hall and therefore it's called big. But this hall could be small compared to a bigger hall than this. So small or big is all relative. And therefore everything in this world is relative. But God is absolute because there's no one equal, no one competitive with God. And therefore his ways are also very unique of changing the world. And he says, I have to come, I have to descend because my children are in human form. But I don't take birth like you. So how God comes, he descends, he speaks, but he uses a human form. But that human form is not his. His name doesn't change, but yes, the one in whom he descends, that one's name changes. And God names him Brahma, because through him he has to create the new world. And therefore we say with so much of confidence, that faith and love, that yes, God has come and he is working through Brahma. Even now, although Brahma is in his angelic form, but he's working through Brahma and the children of Brahma. And therefore, I am Brahma Kumar or Brahma Kumari. You know, when a newcomer comes, Baba says, you can tell him that you are also a Brahma Kumar or a Brahma Kumari. Why? Because you also are a child of Brahma. Brahma is called the first father, Adi Pita, Adam. And we are all his children, therefore he becomes a great, 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 great grandfather, the original father, the original physical father. But soul father is absolute. There is no comparison. But every father is also a Brahma because he has his progeny, his children. But universal father, as universal brotherhood, we are children of one father, the Brahma, and universal brotherhood of brother or brotherhood and sisterhood is Brahma. But universal brotherhood is one, Shiva, the Supreme, who has no gender, who is beyond gender because he has no physical form. And we say with that confidence again that for the past 79 years, God has been working. First through the corporeal medium and now through the angelic medium. And angelic medium speed is much faster. That is why when Baba became Avyakt, Avyakt Bab Dada gave this message that now this Brahma Baba to become Avyakt is a sign that God's work will work in an Avyakt way, angelic way, subtle way, thoughts way, just like words, their speed is much slower compared to the speed of thoughts. Thoughts travel so fast. words mean sound. Sound travels much slower. In energy levels also we see each energy's speed is different. The speed of sound is much less than the speed of light. Light travels the fastest. That is why you must be noticing, this is very interesting, that whenever a storm is to come, first there's a big thunder. First there's lightning. The lightning is felt first, and then the thundering sound of the clouds. Because light has traveled faster, and sound travels little later. And therefore first the lightning comes, and then the thundering comes. So thundering is a sound, and lightning is the light. So light travels faster than sound. But all that is again physical energy. And how fast do thoughts travel? What is the speed of thoughts? That is the speed of an angel. Because angels don't come into words. They work through thoughts. They don't come in the physical form. Physical form means words. But thoughts means angelic form. What is the speed of thoughts? That is the speed of an angel. You say, if you are like the light coming from the sun, it takes 8 minutes for the light to reach the earth from the sun. 8 minutes. You know, the light ray starts from the sun and reaches the earth. It takes 8 minutes. And on the basis of that, they find the distance of the sun from the earth. But how long does it take for the mind to reach the sun? What is the speed of the mind? Instant, 1 second. And therefore Baba says, now the service is at thought speed. Baba's thoughts are working. How souls are able to get those intuitions, they are working. But then they need the knowledge through words. Through just intuitions, they can get confused also. And therefore Baba has to come into action through words and sound and the body. But in whom could God come and work? You know, many people had many questions when Shiv Baba started working through Brahma Baba. And it was told that how Shiva the Supreme is working through Brahma Baba. They would say, but he is a family man. And the family man means an old man. And God should work through someone who is very pure. Brahma Baba in his Laukik life was not a pure, he had a family, he had children, you know. So God should work through a very pure person, through maybe a sannyasi, through a saint, you know. He was not a saint before Shiv Baba entered in his body. But we say God will not enter a saint. Why? Why God will not enter a saint and work? A saint, a sage, a sannyasi, they have renounced the world. They don't have family. But God has to set an example of a pure family. The deities have a pure family. That's the golden aged world. And in this world, which is God's creation, family life is the normal life. Not a sannyasi life is a normal life. God has created a family path. So right from the beginning of the cycle, there has been a family. Otherwise, how would the world grow? How would the population increase? But it was pure family. And now it's impure family. And now Baba is wanting the impure family to change again into pure family. And therefore God will come in a person who has the experience of family life. You know, there's a very interesting story of Adi Shankaracharya. Very interesting, I don't know how far it's true, but in his books it's written that Adi Shankaracharya was a bachelor, I mean a very pure celibate from birth. and how he renounced his parents and home and then became a sannyasi. So in the story it's mentioned that one family man, he said, I want to argue with you. I want to argue about scriptures with you. So he said, okay, come and argue. And we will answer. And then a very interesting question he asked that person, to Shankaracharya, that you are a sannyasi. You never got married. How can you have experience of what married life is? You have never married. How can you give knowledge to family men? Because you never married, so you have no experience. So Shankaracharya thought about it. Well, what answer can I give? So he said, okay, give me 3 days. I will give you the answer. After 3 days, I will give you the answer. So what he did, well, I don't know how far it's true, but then it's in his books, that he told his disciples that I am now, I the soul, I'm leaving my body, but keep my body safe, intact. I will come back after 3 days. Leave it as it is, and untouched and all that, I will come back. And he left the body, the soul left the body. Now this soul, where it went to a king's body, and that king had just died. And the wife and the children and all, they were crying and all that. And the Shankaracharya's soul went and entered that body, where the soul of that body had just left. And immediately the king got up. Actually, it was the soul of the Shankaracharya, not the king who got up, but that soul had entered, Shankaracharya's soul. But when the king got up, his behavior was totally different. Totally different. He was having very pure thoughts, pure words, and very soft spoken, this, that. But that king was like a tyrant, you know, very, like an angry man. But this was so different. So everybody in the family, they were surprised. Is he the same king? He's totally different. But then 3 days he stayed in that body and experienced what sex is or whatever, I mean family life, all that. And then he left the body and came back. And he said, now I have experienced it. Another body. That's the story. I don't know. But then that's what they say for Adi Shankaracharya. He had that power to leave the body and then come back after 3 days. And experience what family life was. But Baba tells us differently. Yes, God establishes a family life and He needs a family man. Then many people question us, then why do you all remain celibate? Why do you all not marry or whatever? We tell them a different story. We tell them, experience does not mean only what you do with your hands. Experience can be in different forms. Experience can be what you hear, what you read, what you watch, what you see around, you know, all that is part of experience. Why not? Not only not what you do. Even if you say that what you do, but then this life is not the only life. I've had many lives before. In my previous lives, I had not been a celibate person. So I do have experience of what impure family is, family life is. So I cannot say that I don't know because I am pure from birth. So the soul has the experience of 84 births. And the 21 births were pure family life, 63 births impure family life. So the soul has all that experience, it's already. I don't have to go now to experience it once again. I've had enough in my previous births. That's why Baba says, for my sake, in this last life, last birth, remain pure, because that purity will enable us to change the world. Purity is the instrument behind changing the world, Baba said the other day also. And now through impurity, whatever is being created is all very impure. We don't want that. It's only waste of energy. Now we have to stop this. Just like you have a machine. You have a machine, and in that you put the raw product and the finished product comes out. But that if that finished product is not really in good condition, it is coming out very, very deformed, you will definitely stop that machine and say, let us first repair it. There is some problem in the machine. And only after the repair work has been done, will you start putting the raw objects in it to get the product. You won't keep on doing, even the product is not really the good one. You will stop the machine. So now Baba says you have reached the extreme end. So God says this. It's not human beings saying this. God is saying this, that now for my sake, for your sake, lead a pure life, because the world is changing. And now God is creating pure family life. Now it's no more pure family life. A pure family life is needed for the establishment of golden age. And Baba has given us a very beautiful pure family life. You know, in the scriptures there's a very interesting thing mentioned, that human life is 100 years, according to the scriptures. Human life is 100 years, and it has been divided. 25 years, the first 25 years of life should be total celibacy, total purity. Scriptures also say this. Because that is student life. You have to study, you have to think of studies, nothing else. No family business up to 25 years. After 25 years, up to 50 years, okay, family life, procreating, business, job, this, that, everything. But after 50 years, up to 75 years, 50 to 75, it should be vanparast, like the period of... Vanparast means going beyond any of these responsibilities, giving everything to your children to take care of. And after 75 years, not only renouncing everything, but not even living at home. You have to go and stay with the recluses, with the hermits, with the sannyasis, in the ashrams, not even living in the house. Because if you live in the house, the attachment will go. So live like a sannyasi after 75 years. So 25 years brahmacharya, up to 50 family life, 75 vanparast means giving all your responsibilities to your children and making them take care, and after 75 renouncing even that and becoming a sannyasi. So sannyas. But when Shiv Baba comes, he changes that process. He says, as time is short, nobody is going to live for 100 years. It's very rare that somebody like Dadi Janki living for 100 years. But as we know that nobody is going to live for 100 years, so all the four periods, 25, 25, 25, 25, we synchronize it, and we all the four parts of life, we do it together. All together. In a sense, leading a celibate life, also fulfilling all my responsibilities, not leaving my family, not leaving my heart and home, not becoming a sannyasi, and also going into a state of going beyond sound, and also mentally, internally renouncing all the vices, and leaving nothing physically. So this is the beauty of God's knowledge, in which Baba changes all the rules. Why? Because the world has to change. And when God comes, He establishes three things together. When prophet souls come, they establish only a religion, that's all. And also Baba says it's not difficult for them to establish their religion. although when they are in life, people don't understand them because they teach something different, something new, which is a need of that the hour at that time. And many people oppose that prophet's soul. But they are pure souls. And the pure souls from Paramdham descend after that prophet's soul descends. So it's not difficult for him to establish his religion, although the people at that time may not recognize that prophet's soul. But it doesn't take long for his religion to expand. But when God comes, all the souls of the deity religion are already in their very degraded form. They're already here. It's not that new souls are going to come from Paramdham in the deity religion. They're already here. And they have to be uplifted. They have to be purified. Because purity is the basis of a new religion. And the deity religion, definitely purity is the highest basis of that. The deities are leading a pure life. Other prophet souls, when they come, although the soul descends and that soul is pure, but very soon it becomes impure. Very soon the stages change. But for deities, not like that. Half a kalpa, they are in their pure state. And through yoga power, they procreate. So don't give up family life. They're not sannyasis. And this is why many people, you know, when we say, no, I want to lead a celibate life, I want to do seva, I want to serve the world. People say, oh, you know, India, the parents will say, but even Ram had Sita, they were married people. Krishna had married, everybody has married, even Shankar married, even Vishnu married. So, Lakshmi Narayan were married. Why you are saying like that? But we say they had a pure family life. Today, no pure family life. So therefore we say, now Baba is, God is changing the rules. It's like the rules have come in the hands of the president and he will change all the rules. In president's rule, the normal rules don't work. There are extreme orders. And therefore Baba is telling us that in order to have a new religion, the deity religion which has gone into oblivion, purity is first. So this is like understanding unique way of God. Many people tell us that your knowledge is so beautiful, everything you teach is so good, but why you don't get hundreds and thousands of people like other satsang, other gurus have? You don't have that many. We say, well, and you know what they advise to us? They say, just remove this discipline of purity from your institution. Then you'll see hundreds of thousands of people coming to you. We say, no, nothing doing. Because it is this purity which will really help Baba's service to stay alive. All others will finish because they will go through their golden, silver, copper, iron stages. All other organizations. Nowadays people say, well, you speak very well, you do very well, you are doing very good work, but even others are doing the same. It's not a big difference. So they are doing, you are also doing.
आगे है अंत समय अब हम सब का शिव
So Baba says that gradually you will notice how all other organizations, institutions, religions, they're all going down and down and down. The degradation is taking place and is going very fast down too. And a time will come when people will begin to say that now they are saying you also, but then they will begin to say you only. You know, a big difference will come. You only, and all that will be because of the purity in the souls, which Baba is emphasizing on so much. And that purity will establish the new religion of the deities, and everything else will be destroyed, as Baba says. This is the unique way of God. It's just like you plant a new sapling, you know, from the old tree, they put some mud or some manure in the old stem itself and then tie it up, and then how the roots come, and then the old tree finishes, it gets become older and older, and the new sapling grows. So that's a new one, and the old is going, and the new one is coming up from the old tree itself. That is why it's called a sapling, from the old tree. And therefore Baba says how, because of purity, it will be possible. As Baba establishing their deity religion once again. And this is why Baba says you are at war with Maya. People in the world don't know what Maya is. So they don't even know that they have to fight against Maya. They're on a battlefield fighting against Maya, the vices. And therefore Baba establishes a deity religion. And religion basis is purity. Then Baba is also establishing a kingdom. Baba says there will be kings and queens and subjects and servants, the rich subjects, the not so rich subjects and servants also different time. All will be created on the basis of the efforts the souls make now, not there. What you make now. So imagine a new kingdom being established here. And what is needed for the establishment of a new kingdom? We need the rules and regulations, the constitution, the laws, the bylaws. And that's what Shrimat is. And for everything, Baba gives us Shrimat. And if we are following that Shrimat accurately, then definitely we will become the sovereigns. Why not? But not very accurately, then of course the other degrees are there and the other status is there. And then along with a kingdom, Baba says, I am also establishing a family. The golden aged family was just one family. must be just the family of Lakshmi and Narayan, 16,108, or maybe even 900,000. Yeah, but then that's the beginning of golden age, and out of that 16,000 are of the royal family. But even the others, the subjects, would be very close to the royal family. Not that they would be very far away from the royal family. Only one family, and how it is all together. Golden age is a small world, is not a big world. But how gradually this family moved out, went in other countries, were created, other religions were created, conversions took place, so much happened. And now that golden age family, the deities, they're scattered all over the world. And now you're coming back. You feel that you're coming back? Yes, you feel that? Those who feel that, they raise their hand. I'm sure all Brahmins will feel that, definitely. Many, many, once somebody asked Baba, why did I take birth in that country, another religion, another thing, Baba, did I do any sinful karma, any bad karma for me to be born there? And Baba said, no, you were born there because you have a special role of serving the souls of that country. Otherwise, how would those souls we served all have to be given the message, and you know the language, and therefore your role was to be there so that you could serve the souls. Then she asked, but Baba, is it only one birth, or have I taken many births there? And Baba said, oh no, only one birth you have taken there. All your other births were in Bharat, because that is God's birthplace. So now you are there for a reason. It's not without a reason. It's not because of sinful actions, but because your role is to serve those souls. And therefore we can understand how now those souls which are scattered all over the world, they are coming back, and becoming the deities. So Baba establishing a kingdom, Baba establishing a religion, and Baba establishing one world family. So religion is established through purity. Kingdom is established through laws, constitution, the articles, the bylaws, the Srimat, which we say. And then how is the family established? With the knowledge of soul and supreme soul. We are all souls. So when we say we are all souls, then all the barriers of religion, caste, creed, color, nationality, everything finishes. One world family of God, and then the knowledge of God as one Father. So we are the children of just one Father, and therefore it's one family. Or we can say we are the children of two fathers. Yes, one Father. Both are fathers of all of us. Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba. And therefore now both cannot be separated, because the work of establishment of the golden age is still going on. Even now, although Bap Dada come in the body of Gulzar Dadi, but we won't say that Gulzar Dadi is the medium. Yes, Brahma Baba is the medium. This is only a temporary medium of Gulzar Dadi. But it is Shiv Baba working through Brahma Baba. Yes, temporarily, because Brahma Baba is in his angelic form and a physical form is needed, and therefore the physical form of Gulzar Dadi. But she is not in her consciousness or awareness at that time, as Brahma Baba used to be when Shiv Baba would come in his body. It is still Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba. Gulzar Dadi is only temporary instrument, and she is in trance. She doesn't know anything. She afterwards, when she goes back to her room, she reads the murli, which Baba has spoken. She doesn't have to think about anything. She just gives her body, okay Baba, use it. That's all. She is not part of it. But it is Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba. Therefore we say Bap Dada, Avyakt Bap Dada. Bap means Shiv Baba, Dada means Brahma Baba. Dada has two meanings. One Dada means elder brother, and the other meaning is grandfather. Bap means father. So Shiv Baba is the father, and Brahma Baba is also a brother because he is also a soul. But he is also like a great-great-grandfather, no? Because the original father. And another way, if you say Brahma Baba is the father and Shiv Baba is the father of Brahma Baba, then Shiv Baba is the grandfather. And therefore the pun on the word Bap Dada, it has several meanings. This is a code word of the Brahma Kumaris, Bap Dada, which only we understand. Nobody else will understand what Bap Dada means. And therefore Baba says, you have two fathers now. Your physical father is also Brahma Baba. Or you can say your angelic father now, and spiritual father is of course Shiv Baba. So both the fathers are there with you now at the confluence age. In golden age you'll have only one Laukik father, that's all. You won't know Brahma Baba, you won't know Shiv Baba. You won't even know how you got that kingdom, how you became the deity, you won't know anything. You won't even know that before you were in Kali Yuga, whatever, nothing will be known. But there's a blessing in disguise in not knowing. You know, many people question that, why can't we know about our past birth? Baba says, it's good that you don't know. It's good. Because if you would have known your past birth, in this birth, you would not be happy in this birth also, and not happy of the past birth also. So double sorrow. Not only sorrow of this birth also, but also sorrow of the past birth. And you, like somebody will have a wife in this birth, but he'll remember his wife in the past birth. Can you imagine what it will be like? But it is good that he doesn't remember. And therefore Baba says that in this birth also, Baba says, don't remember your past. Don't think of anything else, but just do the right actions now. So when we understand this, we realize really God's ways are unique of changing the world. And many question us that Baba has been saying about destruction, destruction. Right from the beginning, 79 years ago, Baba started saying about destruction. But still destruction hasn't taken place. And you know what Baba says? If Baba had not mentioned about destruction and not given visions of destruction at that time, who would have then surrendered to Baba? Who would have? No one. But they got visions of destruction as if destruction was happening only the next day. That's what they experienced, and therefore they left everything. Just ran to Baba because they said destruction is happening. Then some say, but why are we not getting those visions now? Baba is saying, no need now because you are seeing around. Now nobody will have a question whether destruction will take place or not because everything is there, visible in front of the eyes. Don't have to show visions of that anymore. But yes, visions of golden age, Baba says you should be seeing, not visions of destruction. Because Baba will not make you experience any sorrow. Although there will be destruction going on, but you will be getting visions of golden age, going to that new world. So this is the experience Baba gives to his children. And therefore, God's ways are completely unique of transforming the world. We understand that? Or is there any other way you think that God will use to transform the world? This is the only way. But everything is happening in an incognito way, everything. People don't know. That's why Baba says, you are incognito warriors, unknown, but very well known. In the scriptures we are very well known, but unknown to the world now. So, understanding that and acting accordingly is the right task we have to do now. Om Shanti. Thank you. Let us sit in meditation.